on Breakfast with Vossi, a sports update with Michelle Bishop.
Who loves her racing. Michelle, we've had tips from The Shadow, David O'Driscoll from Sportsnet, from Sportsbet rather, and very confident David O'Driscoll, as he always is. He's picked three at a good price. Do you have a special for this weekend? Is there one that you want to share with the listeners? Any standouts? So you want to do?
I'm just absolutely awful, but always the bridesmaid, never the bride. I just think it's her time. In the invitation, the Brad Widdop trained Ice Bath, really solid without winning. I just think her form in the Epsom, she just had absolutely no luck, and conditions haven't been great. But I think tomorrow it might be her time to shine. Like a bit of rain overnight. But look, I've got a great story, though, from the invitation. And this is from a Queensland trainer, Rob Heathcote. Now, he had Rothfire in the Everest, and there was a massive setback with that. That was supposed to be the star of his stable. But Startante will line up tomorrow in the invitation. Now, this is like a really cool sort of yarn. A bunch of owners were sitting around and they got drunk and they basically said, oh, let's pop her into the Golden Rose. So it was all too late. They had to pay a late entry fee. And if you've got a lazy 37,000 sitting around, I suppose you can do that. So they whacked up the 37,000. She ran in that. She ran sixth. It was a really, really good race. They pocketed 10 grand. So just, you know, keep note of the maths. They then said, right, let's back her up in the Flight Stakes. That's a Group 1 race. The entry fee there, again, late. They whacked up 22,000. She ran third in that, and they're thinking, gee, we're onto something here. This is great. And as that Group 1, 70,000. So you do the math. She's sitting now $10,000 in front, and tomorrow lining up in the $2 million the invitation. Obviously, a late entrant into that as well. But all over a drunken conversation one night, you know, the pathway is just amazing.
Ah, the Sport of Kings, delivering many great stories around this time of year, as it does each and every spring carnival. So there you go, Ice Bath, the Michelle Bishop tip for this weekend. By the way, Davo's reacted to my story about the kidney transplant from the pig. He says, you're not telling porkies, are you, Vossie? No, I'm not, Davo. No, not at all. Not at all. True story.
Hey. Wouldn't it be nice just on that, Vossie, yes. My father-in-law has a valve in his heart that's from some sort of tissue or whatever that's from a pig as well. So pigs are really useful, clearly.
Absolutely, absolutely. They said that the idea of the transport is nothing new, but they've got to this stage. I mean, it's a very advanced stage from where they were. So we monitor that story. Now, look, wouldn't it be nice if we could one day report on Ben Simmons in the positive and feel good about him and... Seriously, so he, and I will say the expression. So the report is today, and I'm being as crass as you can get, he dogged it. He's turned up, he's dogged it from training.
That's
he's passed
absolutely
medically fit, and he's just said, nah, I'm not training.
Bit of perfect way to put it. Yeah, another drama. But more importantly, the 76ers, they basically think he's a fraud and he's faking injury and mental illness, which is like, that's a massive call even on their part this day and age to be calling out someone when it comes to mental illness. So they're obviously, you know, very confident in what they're thinking. But he basically went to a couple of medical staff and said that he had some lower back issues, tightness in the back. They looked over him. They thought he was fine to play and also to train, but he went home. He didn't stick around. He's obviously waiting to debut since being benched in the in the final series last year. But is it going to happen?
This is painful. I would say, given what that Patty Mills did earlier this week, what Josh Giddey did yesterday, tomorrow we would have had, if Ben Simmons puts his hand up and pulls the finger out, we would have had Ben Simmons on one side of the court against Patty Mills, representing the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, it would be potentially, or possibly, the biggest week for Australian basketball ever. To have all these players, you know, play on this stage, and Simmons v. Mills, how good. And Ben Simmons, you let the image of Australian sports people, we have a go, everything. You are so not the Australian sportsman, Ben Simmons.
How's it going to end? How's it all going to end, Vossie? When? Oh, man. It's painful.
Getting paid more than any Australian sports person. I mean, does money mean that he has lost integrity? Something that he obviously doesn't realise what the value of that is. Now, one of the big story, the biggest story of the morning has been the NRL-AFL vax situation. It is like AFL v NRL at the moment. We've been running our poll this morning. I've got to say, our listeners basically are in admiration of the AFL. For what they have done. They say the NRL are lagging behind and there's true leadership in the AFL? Is that what you're detecting?
Well, it is a little bit disappointing because the NRL was leading the way they just, you know, continued to plough on through the pandemic and find a way. And it was the AFL back then being very wishy-washy about it. And look, it's not as if it's this present moment in time that it's been a timing issue. They've had plenty of time to sort of sit back now and get all their you know, things in order. But yeah, the NRL Commission, no formal policy at the moment. They're kind of going to go back to the drawing board and have a think about their protocols. Andrew Abdo has said that they will have policies in place for vaccinated and different rules for non-vaccinated. But the question has to be asked. I mean, there's sides like the Melbourne Storm. That's already sort of taken care of. They've ticked that box because if your players are going to play interstate, like the Melbourne Storm, they have to be vaccinated to play there in Victoria. And that'll happen right across the board. So, you know, any team with any players that aren't vaccinated that go and take on the Melbourne Storm away from home or in Melbourne, they won't be allowed to play. So it's the ramifications of this are pretty huge.
All righty. Now, our poll that we've been running this morning on our Twitter account at Vossie SEN, and the question, straightforward, should the NRL follow the AFL lead and make COVID-19 vaccinations mandatory for all players? The yes, this is with a big slab of votes now in. The yes vote running at 76%. The no vote is 18%, undecided 5%. We did give that option to our listeners. So that's overwhelming. 76% of the fans that they're to get into stadiums to watch the players are going to have to be vaccinated.
Vaccinated.
Are saying the NRL have to follow suit to the AFL. So there you go. That's the poll from 1170 SEN this morning. Just on your ice bath tip. One of our listeners says ice bath is like a normal woman, always late. Always late. There you go. We're allowed to pass on text like that. There you go. So no,
what's
no
the truth?
In your tip. That's
for many
true.
Of us,
no,
I
true.
Am. Hands up.
Yeah. One of our listeners also wants to know, what was the second tip from David O'Driscoll? Second tip. Well, I'll give you all his tips. Randwick race 4, number 15. Randwick race 5, number 8. And race 8, number 4. The tips from David O'Driscoll. For tomorrow, when the Shadow likes Brisbane, race 1, number 3, Irish Sequel, and race 4, number 3, Cloak. If all our tipsters get their tips up this weekend, there is some serious money to be won, let me tell you. You're all gone at prices, you guys. It's outstanding stuff. Well done. Michelle, what's been the highlight of your week? We're thinking of introducing a new segment next week. I haven't discussed it with the team, but we're thinking of a segment. Red light, green light.
So oh gosh, not that.
Good,
that's hit my household too. It's pretty sad when your 11-year-old has to tell you about it. I was like, what? What is this?
I think we're going to play that today, a game of that. But when you think about everything that's happened this week, is that 4-year-old signed by Arsenal the best story of the week that you brought to us last hour? I mean, you cover sport, you live and breathe it. Well, today we're talking about a 4-year-old who's been signed by the Arsenal Gunners. What an incredible world we live in.
It's crazy. Yeah, no, it has been. That is a big highlight. But look, you know what? Just being in your presence, Vossie, has been the highlight of my week.
There we go. That's there's people grabbing for a bucket there. But there we go, Michelle. You have a great weekend. And that story you brought to us last hour, this kid's name, and his name is Zain Ali Salman. In fact, we got the grab of him. Just so, Michelle, thank you for bringing us this report. This is a 4-year-old who has been signed to the Arsenal Gunners Pro Academy or Pre-Academy, pre-the Academy. He's only 4 years of age. Here you go.
My name is Zain Ali Salman, and I am 4 years old, and my favourite team is Arsenal.
This kid is doing something that he shouldn't be doing. The way he's striking the ball, it just looked too sharp for someone that age.
And that's the talent scout, who's a lot older. But that's an amazing story, Michelle. Have a great weekend.
Extremely articulate as well, Vossie.
Well, it's amazing. There we go. That is football. In the world game, Michelle, have a great weekend. This is Breakfast with Vossie, 1170 SEN.